We're doing Rav Chalapman Shemuot. Sha'al Rabbi Chanina ben Agil. The Talmud interacted, Baba Kama tells us, Rabbi Chanina ben Agil asked Rabbi Chaya Barama, why is it that in the first commandments we don't have the word Tov? The word Tov doesn't appear in the first commandments. And in the last commandment you have the word Tov. So he said to him, well, the first tablets were going to break. So he asked him, if they were going to break, then what? So Ravashi says, God forbid, the idea that the word Tov would break wasn't acceptable in heaven. So Hashem didn't want the word Tov to be written and break. It would seemingly indicate that there was a capacity for the good that comes from above to Israel to ever break, and that didn't want to be indicated. So Rav Chalap says, I'm not coming to explain this holy concept that Chazal meant in this Agadah. Chazal obviously had a much deeper meaning when they said these words. The thing we about how careful it seems that the Medrash is about the good, the Tov, that we don't want them to break, and the Tov should break. Wouldn't our hearts break over every other word in the Ten Commandments that were broken? It's that word that matters more than everything else. And why would the good break from Am Yisrael just because the word good in the tablets broke? And if you write a second set of tablets and the word Tov appears in the second set of tablets, why doesn't that fix a first set that were broken? So he says there's a lot to discuss about this Medrash. Yeah. What?
God's name is written in the Ten Commandments. And that breaks.
Oh, great question.
Sina is also called Tov.
Okay. So we have a lot of questions. Agreed. So the Medrash says, when Am Yisrael received the Torah on Shavuos, so then the nations of the world got jealous of them. They said, why should they be closer to Hashem than us? And Hashem had them silenced when Hashem said, show me your genealogy. Show me whether you can say that your children are yours. That you have children only from one wife. That your wife has children only from one man. Show me that you can draw your genealogy all the way up to Avraham Avinu. The Jewish people can do that and you can't. And that's what the pasuk says, Havu l'Hashem mishpechot amin. Hashem says, I want you to bring me and show me your families. The family is what gives us the strength to receive the Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want to see your families. Havu l'Hashem mishpechot amim. Hashem says, I want the nations to show me their families if they ask why the Jewish people are singled out. Just as my children can show me their families, the Jewish people are unique in that. And that's why the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, Hashem says, I'm going to count them. You look at the beginning of the book of Shemot, you have again a delineation of the families of the Jewish people. The Torah keeps reiterating the importance of the families. And the Medrash says on our parsha, Parshat Bamidbar, the counting of the Jewish people is to show us that the strength, the right that we have to the Torah, Hashem says, is because of the families we built. Because of the faithfulness in the Jewish home. Yes?
There's a lot of midrashim and a lot of stuff regarding the nations getting jealous and not being happy that we're the only ones who got chosen, but he chose us to take this. And he apparently almost killed us if we would have said no. So like, he did go through the nations and say, you have to give up this.
Great. Like, so what you said is exactly the next line in Rav Chalap. Look at how smart you are. Very good. Let's see. Rav Chalap's about to touch on that. Very good. So Rav Chalap asks your question. He says, wait a second. The pasuk says in Vezosa Bracha Hofia Mehar Paran, what Ben just said, that Hashem offered the Torah to all the other nations. Hashem asked them, do you want to get the Torah? And what did they say? Well, tell us what it says in the Torah. And then they didn't want to receive the Torah. So what's going on here that suddenly they ask jealously, why did the Jews get the Torah and not us? The answer should have been, I offered it to you and you said no. Hashem doesn't answer them, I offered it and you said no. But rather, Hashem says, you guys don't have the families it takes. You guys haven't been faithful. You haven't built your families the way you should. No, you can't have the Torah. Why didn't Hashem just say, you were offered, you said no? That should have been the answer.
Well, because it's all also, in those days, that's no, the families is an answer for eternity. Because you offered one time, that's fine one time, but it doesn't somewhere 10 generations, 50 generations later. But to say that you didn't keep the Noahite laws of faith, family,
generations down, who says, you know what, my great-great-great-great-grandfather was really stupid, you should have taken
exactly.
The you I want to do it, I want to take it.
Well, that doesn't work for us. That doesn't work for us with our Sinai. It was all our grandparents did it, but we, you know.
That's another story. Rob will tell you. I mean, people here never told about what their grandparents accepted. It doesn't work.
Right,
it's not
right.
fair.
I mean,
I'm wondering why they're jealous if they didn't want to.
But the idea of not keeping your family, that is for eternity. That answer lasts forever. It's not just, I wasn't there then. All right, so that explains why you did this, but it doesn't explain all the perspicuity and all the, you know, going with whatever.
That's an answer to the question, though. The guy's 20 generations down who might decide, this whole community, we want to make our families holy, we want to keep the Torah.
It's here with Rav Kala.
Then they have to join us.
Well, they go through.
Guys, I think we should hear what Rav Kala has to say.
I agree. Too much coffee.
So the nations saw the beauty of the Torah. They initially said no. But that's not an answer long term, that they initially said no. Because after they saw the beauty of the Torah, if they had changed their mind, who's stopping them? A non-Jew can convert. And just because they initially said no, that meant they couldn't connect later on? No, they could. No one's stopping them. The Torah from Mitzrayim already talks to us about conversions.
That's joining us.
Right.
Supposed to take it upon themselves with their nation.
Let's go a step at a time. Let's hear things out. Again, when Am Yisrael received the Torah, the nations were jealous. Why are they brought closer more than us? Hashem said, show me your families. Rav Chalap continues. The Midrash says, a non-Jew asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He said, what you do makes you look like sorcerers. You take a cow and you burn it, a red heifer. And then you beat up the dust and you take some of its dust. And then if someone becomes defiled for the dead, you sprinkle on him a few drops and you say he's pure. You take a drop of ash, you mix it in a big bucket of water, you sprinkle it, you could have 50 people lined up, each one gets one drop touching them, you say they're all pure. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked him, did you ever have something called Ruach Tizazit? I don't know exactly what type of illness that was. The man says, yes, I've had it. He said, what do they do for you when you have that illness? He said, they bring this plant called Ikarin, they burn it next to me, and then they put water over the plant as it's burning, and when the smoke comes up, you get cured from this illness. So he said, listen to what you just said. this spirit is... this spirit... you believe can be moved away. That illness was moved away just by burning a little bit and then pouring water on the fire. The defilement, we also are taught by the Torah that you can sprinkle water and remove it from a person. So The guy said, oh, okay, I hear. So we have medicines that work that way in the common world. You say it works that way in the spiritual world. I hear it. His students left. The non-Jew left. And the students asked him, Rebbe, you gave him a hollow answer. What can you tell us? So he said to them, I'll tell you the truth. The dead person doesn't really make you defiled. And the water doesn't really make you pure. The Rabban Shalom said, these are the rules I made for the world. This is the system I decreed for the world. And you don't have a choice. This is the life you're going to lead. This is the way of the Torah. That's the end of the Medrash. The question is, wait a second. Why was his answer so bad? What did he say? He said, if sometimes by making smoke and then sprinkling water on the smoke, you can get a disease to leave the person, even though you didn't seem to do something serious to the person, the cure for that disease in those days was this act. So why is that a bad indicator that sometimes by just putting some water on a person, you can get whatever this disease of Tuma is to leave the person? He was showing him that in the natural world, you have things that aren't so different from what the Torah said. So Rav Chalap says, we see systems in the world we live in, and we call them nature. We see a system, the sun rises, the sun sets. We don't know exactly what's holding the sun in orbit, what's holding the earth in orbit, what keeps the sun going, what's the energy that started the sun. There's a lot we don't know. But when we see consistency, we call it nature. When we see something as a system, we call it nature. Well, by the same token that there are rules, there are systems in nature, there are also rules in the metaphysics. There's a system that we don't understand that's also works according to a system. There's a system we see, there's a system we don't see. So we might think that when the Torah tells us, do these mitzvos, the Torah is revealing to us how to tap into the system you don't see. The Torah is saying, you don't see the defilement of the dead, I'm telling you there's defilement. You don't see how this red heifer purifies you, I'm telling you it's going to purify you. You might think that what the Torah is telling you is, if you eat pork, it's really bad for you. I'm telling you what you don't see. You don't see it, but I'm telling you there's a system of metaphysics, and when you eat pork, there's something really bad that happens to you, and I'm going to reveal it to you by telling you not to eat pork. And you're going to be better, you don't know how, but you will be a better person.
Let him
finish the sentence. He's in the middle of a sentence. A run-on sentence, but a middle of a sentence. He says, you could think that everything about Torah is really because the Torah knew better how the system of the world works, the system we don't see. And the Torah says, here, I'm telling you what's good for you within that system. Rav Chalap says, no. Now, what Rav Chalap is negating is the way we understood the Ramban. It's the way we understood the Ran. Meaning he's negating something which we understood in the Rishonim that we learned in the Drashot Aran and in the Ramban. He's saying that's not the case. He's saying, if really every act of Torah was specifically, this act is... it's like taking the right medicine. It's like eating the right diet. Then you could never do one at the expense of the other. Because if you're transgressing a prohibition, we have the concept, let's say, asei dochei lo taasei, right? Sometimes you have to do proactive commandment at the expense of a prohibitive commandment. So Torah says, a woman may not marry her brother-in-law. You married a man, you're never allowed to marry his brother. But if her husband dies without children, she has a mitzvah chalitza to marry her brother-in-law. Wait a second. If the Torah just told you that when a woman marries her brother-in-law, there's something spiritually, metaphysically, there's a system out there. And if she marries her brother-in-law, she should know there's something terrible that's happening. She doesn't see it. She doesn't know what. But there is. Then the Torah wouldn't be able to tell you, but you should know. If he dies without kids, then you should do it. Because wait a second, but there's a system. There's a nature out there. Just like you say, anytime you're going to eat poison, it's bad for you. But if I'm going to tell you to eat poison now just because it's a good idea today on Mondays, but wait a second, it's still bad for you.
No, but
wait, let's hear him. Let's hear him.
Even with that example, you can say on any given day to go through chemotherapy or radiation is a terrible idea. However, if you have cancer, it might be able to suppress the tumor, thus curing you. This is a circumstance within the system where
if that's the example, what Rav Chalap is arguing, then what you're saying is that the man is doing an act which is maybe a harik val yavar, right? He's doing a very terrible act, and it's like chemotherapy, in your example. He's doing something that's going to harm him and the world, but he's also doing something positive. Rav Chalap says, the Torah really gave us that system?
Yes. Ah. I mean, look at look at all the terrible things that happened to bring us to the end game, which is positive.
Okay, so he's saying he's not going that route. He's saying if the Torah said it, the Torah is not bound to a system where I'll take the lesser of two evils, like a person who takes chemo because he says it'll cure the cancer even though it does harm. The Torah didn't. God created the Torah. God created the system. He didn't create a system where you have to say, "I'll do this," even though it's harmful to that. No, the Torah gave you a system.
But our free will allows us to mess up his original system, so that he's always playing catch up while we have to get tough luck sometimes.
That's a different point. He's saying, but the system of the Torah involves contradictions, where sometimes you'll do A, which contradicts B.
All of these things are good and work out in the grand scheme of things that are way beyond our limits of visualizing it and understanding it, then even what we're experiencing as contradictions might not necessarily be contradictions if we actually do believe that this system is so grand and so perfect and so fitting way beyond our understanding.
I don't get it. This is a problem.
Okay, this is a recurring theme we've seen the last 2 weeks. We saw it last night again. And I'll give the example, which I think illustrates what Rav Chalap is saying. I was in the hospital. It was Yom Kippur. I had a child in the ICU. I couldn't daven. I had to be with the child. Do I say at that time, it's not my fault. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm with the kid in the ICU. When I get 5 minutes, I daven, but my Yom Kippur involves 5 minutes davening here, 5 minutes davening there, and that's it. That's my Yom Kippur. You know what? I didn't daven Yom Kippur. What kind of year am I going to have? I had a lousy Yom Kippur. I did the best I could. It's not my fault, but I didn't daven. Or do I say, I'm sure you davened. You did everything right. Meaning, is it like the person who had he had the only treasure chest that has these treasures, and then he lost it, and it wasn't his fault, and in the shipwreck it sank, and no one blames him, but he doesn't have the treasure. It's not his fault, but he lost it. Not your fault. You're not blamed, but you lost it. When the Torah gave me situations where I have to do A at the expense of B, is it like the chemo, the example you gave, where the answer is, okay, A is more precious than the harmful effects of B. Whatever, you have no choice. Or do I say, no, the Torah set up a system where there will be contradictions, and I will have a system of how to choose, and when I choose that, it's not chemo. It's eating the most healthy thing, it's doing the most right thing. Says Rav Chalap, that only works if there aren't constant systems in the spiritual world.
What do you mean by
to say that the spiritual world is like the physical world, where you have systems, and sometimes you choose the lesser of two evils, but it's still an evil, then the Torah is, so to speak, imperfect.
But it's not, because even the chemo can be beautiful in the next world. You grew as a result of it. You empathize with others. Yes, some things that you don't need anymore were lost, and maybe you'll live 3 years less or whatever. But that's where the God's Latova comes in. I'm just speculating. Obviously, I don't have
I thought that was the exact opposite. I thought that was the point that you just illustrated is what we've been understanding from the Ramban and the Ran for our entire lives until now. And now Rav Chalap is coming and saying, no, because if that were the case, there wouldn't be contradictions.
I'll give a simpler example that Rav Chalap gives in a second. When we entered the land of Israel, we spent 14 years conquering the land of Israel. During those 14 years, it says we were allowed to eat pig. Wait a second. If, for a spiritual reason, pig harms you, then what does it mean that the Torah says, during that time, you're allowed to eat pig?
How
How
Why?
Does this even answer the question of the, in the Gemara? The question in the Gemara was saying it's close to witchcraft.
We're not yet up to that. He didn't finish. He's in the middle of a sentence. You're asking how did he answer? He didn't answer because he's not finishing his sentence yet.
Is he trying to make the point that the spiritual world is not bound by the same rules as the physical world?
We'll get to that. But he's saying it in a broader sense. Right, but he's coming to explain the answer of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his students, I explained it to him as though there's a system. The spiritual world is like the physical world. In the physical world, you see that medications can work with just a drop. Well, in the spiritual world, it can work with just a drop. That was from his perspective. But you, the students, have to understand that it doesn't work that way. Every single commandment is its own entity. It's not that there's this global system of the world, and Hashem says, I'll reveal to you the behind the scenes. The behind the scenes is, if you eat pork, it's bad for you. No one, don't worry, on your planet, they won't know why. I'm telling you that's what's good for you. Is it that the Torah says, I'm giving you the secret code, the code behind the scenes. This is what's really good in the planet. If that were the case, there shouldn't be exceptions. There shouldn't be contradictions because there's a system. If you're binding the Torah to a system, then that system is a constant. I'm telling you what Rav Chalap is saying. He's saying, don't look at the Torah as the same as your example of chemo, where eating pig is always bad for you. Then the Torah says 14 years you could eat pig. Wait a second. Yeah, it's bad for you, but you're conquering the land of Israel, so it's okay. No. Rav Chalap says each commandment is its own entity. We didn't hear him out yet. He's in the middle. But he's saying it's not a system. That's what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was telling his students. Hashem says, this is the way I told you it should be, and that's the way I told you it should be, and that's the way I told you it should be. It's not an overall system where Hashem says, I created a planet. There's a secret part to the system of the planet that no one knows, and I'll tell it to you through the Torah. He says, it's not that. Let's move on a drop. He says, if it were that system, then there would be no room for a prophet to say, today you're allowed to transgress this mitzvah. We have a rule, Horacha, a prophet could tell us, today Hashem says you're allowed to transgress A, even though in general you're not. I'm not coming to take away mitzvah from the Torah. He's not allowed to say it about idol worship, but about other mitzvot. He's allowed to say, today is Shabbos, go to war, even though it's Shabbos. But it's Shabbos, let's go to war on Sunday. Hashem said, go to war today. So the Navi's allowed to tell us to do things that go against the Torah. Why am I listening to him? If the Torah is a system, I'm doing something that's harmful. No, it's not, says Rav Chalap.
Yes. Makes a lot of sense.
Right, let's hear him out. He says, the Torah says, I'm going to let you eat pig. How does the Torah say, I'm going to let you eat pig? The Torah says, as you conquer the land of Israel, you will find houses filled with good. Don't call pig good. If the Torah said pig is not kosher, then you should not call it good. Ah, no, the Torah says that's what's good. You want to know what's delicious? You want to know what's tasty? There are parts of the pig that are the tastiest meat you could find. Don't kid yourself. I never ate pork in my life, but the Gemara says you should know that pork is delicious. And when the Torah says you will have houses filled with good, the Torah was telling you during those 14 years you're allowed to eat pork. So says Rav Chalap, wait, if the system is that pork is bad for you, you just don't know it. And the Torah is telling, I'll tell you the secrets that no one else knows. Behind the scenes, really, pork is bad for you. Then why is the Torah telling me you could have all this good for 14 years? And the Torah is telling me, no, there's something else going on here. It's not that I'm living the good life, just no one else knows it. There's a system here, and I've tapped into it, and no one else knows it. It's not that. I am living the good life, but not in that way. Says Rav Chalap, if really every transgression were poison, and every mitzvah was a panacea, was a benefit, so then you should never have exceptions, because the exceptions become like your example of chemotherapy. Says Rav Chalap, the truth is that every mitzvah and aveira do have an element where the mitzvah is positive for the world or for the doer, and the aveira is poison for the doer. But that's not the reason behind the commandment. And when Hashem says, I don't prohibit you from eating pork, so then pork is not poisonous. There's nothing wrong. You don't lose, you don't gain. You don't gain by not eating it, you don't lose by yes eating it. If Hashem says you have 14 years where you could eat it, so then what Hashem is telling us, that I'll say it in a deeper philosophical sense. Is there a system that Hashem taps into? Is there a system that predates Hashem? And I'll give an example. The idea of mercy. Is that an idea that's separate from the Ribbono Shel Olam? And here we can understand better the Mishnah in Brachos and Megillah and Sota. A person's not supposed to say, Hashem, you had mercy over the bird, that's why you said, shoo away the bird before you take its babies. It shouldn't see as I take its babies. What's wrong with saying Hashem is merciful? The Torah says Hashem is merciful. Hashem is merciful, but I can't say that the concept of mercy precedes Hashem. That Hashem gave the mitzvah because Hashem had to live up to a concept that predates Hashem. If I'm saying, Hashem, you gave the mitzvah because there's a concept of mercy and you had to live up to a concept, that's saying that that there are concepts that bind Hashem. That's wrong. So then the Gemara says, the mitzvahs are just commandments. What does that mean, they're just commandments? We know Hashem tells us there are concepts of mercy we're supposed to have. And we're supposed to learn from the Torah values and ethics. That's different than saying that Hashem is bound to a system. To say there's a concept of mercy which predates God. And Hashem gives a Torah that matches a concept of mercy. That's saying that there are external systems to Hashem. And that Hashem is bound to those systems.
Why can't you say that Hashem himself created the concept of mercy and through the mitzvot?
That you could say.
To live up to it.
That you could say. But then you can't say he gave me the mitzvah because of the concept. He gave me the mitzvah to teach me the concept.
Right.
He didn't give me the mitzvah because he is bound by the concept. He created the concept.
You see also the flip side. Is there, where's the mercy in killing the babies?
Fine. That's another question. Coming back to here, Rav Chalap is saying, when Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai answered the non-Jew, he was really saying, you know, there's a system of cures and illnesses in the regular world, so the Torah taught you a system of how to cure impurity. That's not the real answer. Because it's not a system. It's not that Hashem says, oh, there's a hidden system to the world, and I'll tell you the secret. Eating pork is bad for you. No. Hashem says, I gave commandments. And it's true that as part of the fulfillment of my commandments, there's a certain element of blessing and keeping a mitzvah. There's a certain element of harm and doing an aveira. But it's not that the system existed and so I matched the Torah to the system. That the Torah is revealing a hidden system. And where I don't command it, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's nothing wrong with doing it. If Hashem says you can eat pork these 14 years, so it's not that, oh, I can, but maybe I shouldn't, because on the hidden level of the world, it's a bad thing to eat pork. It's like chemo. No.
So here's the question then. Is this suggesting that all system, life, whatever, is about our relationship with Hashem? Hashem says, you're in the world, here's what you do, here's what you don't do, and it's between me and you, but the system is a give and take on a constant basis? Or is it something that the dynamics grow and expand and contract without any sort of set limitation? You hear what I'm saying? Meaning, what is the relationship then between us, Hashem, and the system? Not obviously not in that order. Particularly, Hashem comes first. But is there? You know, meaning I'm failing to understand. Is number one, is there a system or is there not a system? Meaning, by the system being fully inclusive, or is there just a relationship between us and Hashem, and then the commandments and our obedience or lack thereof to the those commandments are the just an intermediary between us and Hashem. But there's no
the latter, to some degree, the latter. And Rav Chalap says that if the nations would have received the Torah, they would have looked at it as a system. We were given an ability to connect to it differently, not as a hidden system that's being revealed. Because even though when you look at the world, you see light and shadow, you see positive and negative, you see good and bad, sweet and bitter, and there seems to be a certain correlation between leading a Torah lifestyle and having a good life. There is an aspect where the Torah gives you that. But that's like, that's not the essence. That's a byproduct.
What they call a good life, and I mean, I think so, but I mean, you know, it doesn't seem to work for a bit. And what's troubling to take away is, this is a beautiful Rav Harlap, but as we learned with Rambam and Ran, we look at things very differently, you know, in some ways. In some ways, you can probably tie it all together. But it's I think it's sort of, you could, there's so many gaps. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that the system, why does the system have to be flawed if they're not exceptions? Why can't one say that, you know, on some level, it's all tied in with the best possible system from the beginning, but Hashem gave us choices of how the world will play out.
I'll tell you, he's in the middle of a very deep thought where he didn't finish explaining himself. He says, in creation we seem to see good and bad, light and darkness. And if we skip everything we see and we go back to the original creation, we think of the Creator and we say, why did He create the world? So through the Torah we reach a conclusion. Again, it's not necessarily a logical or a provable conclusion, but we reach a conclusion through the Torah that Hashem created a world for good. Hashem wanted to give good to the world. That's a conclusion we're supposed to reach through the Torah. So Hashem creates a whole world for good. And through all of this, good is supposed to come out. Torah also goes back to creation. And just like when you look at creation, you look at a world where you see good and bad, light and darkness, well, that is also reflected in Torah. So, when one looks at the Torah and only looks at it as a system, here's the system, here's how you deal in the world, which is the view Rav Chalap is saying, that one who's outside Israel, that's the only view they're going to have of the Torah. So then when you ask a person, do you want to keep Torah? He's going to say, what does it say? Because he's looking at a system. I want to understand what's good for me, what's bad for me. How does the system affect my life over here? Is it worth it for me? What do I lose? What do I gain? But when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to us and offers us the Torah, we understand that the purpose of creation was Torah. It's not about what I gain and lose through Torah. It's about a realization of the purpose of creation, of my existence, of the world's existence. And if I know that the whole direction of creation is to the positive, so then I'm not asking what does it say. Because I know Hashem's about good, and we even say, "Ein tov ela Torah," the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says. So what does Am Yisrael say? Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh V'Nishma. Whatever Hashem says, we're ready to do and obey. What would they understand? They say, I understand Hashem is good, and I understand the Torah is a representation of that good. But wait a second. You look at the world and you see there's bad, right? But I still understand the direction of the world is to the positive, and if Hashem is giving me a Torah, that's going to be a part of that positive. It's going to be a goal in the world. And what Am Yisrael starts connecting to is the concept that one can deceive himself and say, there's good, there's better, oh, there's even better, it's called Torah. And what they understood is, the only good is Torah. If there's a system that Hashem matches himself to, then you could say there's good, and the Torah matches the good. But if Hashem says, no, I don't match myself to a system, I create the system, I created the Torah, And I'm telling you, here's the Torah, and so then I'm telling you what's good. Ah, but wait a second. Am I going to be able to see it in everything I do? Do you see it in the world Hashem created? Hashem, who's only good, created a world where you see shadows, you see darkness, you see pain. You don't see it in the world. You're not also going to see it in the Torah. You might see it to some degree in the Torah. You won't see it completely in the Torah. Says the Medrash, when Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai explains the Torah, I'm out of time.
Oh, we can't leave here.
To be continued Sunday. We're not done. You're right.
Right now we're only Sunday. We're only